Hello, everyone. I don't know why my video didn't start there. That was weird. Can everyone hear me okay? Come on in. How do I get this part off my screen? Oh, thank you for the thumbs up. Hey, Janet. Let me get my stuff going here. So, I am Coach Christy, everybody. Welcome to Busting Your Bullshit Weight Loss Excuses About Stopping at Enough. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know y'all hear me. Hey, hey. It's Coach Christy, says Jean Shops a Lot. Okay, let me change my name. I'm distracted by this thing that comes up. All right. Tonight is open coaching, y'all, for those of you that are working on stopping at enough. We've been working on it all month with the March challenge. Such a great, great challenge to be working on. I love, love, love when we do the doable hunger challenges. I love when we focus on doable hunger because as a coach for private clients and as someone who answers a lot of Ask Coaches questions, doable hunger is a huge component of our weight loss journey, and it tends to be the one that most of us struggle with the most. Okay, so I've got Coach Heather in the chat today. I'm going to pull her up so she can also be in the Q&A. So if you have any questions that you would specifically like for her to answer or me to answer, then pop them in the Q&A because sometimes the chat goes really fast and we miss stuff and you can't exactly tag people to answer questions. We do our best, but sometimes it gets a little crazy up in the chat. So if you have a question for the Q&A, pop it in there and we will try to get to you. Hi, Judy. I see everybody coming on in. Okay, Heather, I'm giving you your thumbnail right now. Okay, y'all don't know, but when they post the videos on the website, they create a thumbnail. That's like the screenshot when you first click on the replay. It's like the, you know, the still shot that we get of us. And if y'all haven't been on the challenge page, can you please, I don't know who I need to be upset with, but somebody did not make me look good on that challenge page. MJ looks amazing though. But I look like, I don't even know. I think my picture is like something like this or something. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We need to work on our thoughts about how we look in pictures, right? Hi, Amanda from Detroit. Okay, so everybody's coming in. How many people we got in here today? All right, come on in. Invite your accountability groups. Tag your people. Tell them to come on. Jump on the call. This is open coaching. So we're going to have either lots of coaching and fun stuff to talk about stopping it enough, or y'all are just going to have to hear me talk about, you know, my day and my life here in Texas and how I had to lock my dogs out of the my office because inevitably they would bark or whine at me because they want treats or something like that. So I had to lock them out. Okay. So just a couple of sort of reminders. So we've been working on Stopping It Enough the month of March. If you are new to the membership and you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, don't worry about it. We're talking about our excuses for why we don't want to stop eating when we know our bodies have had enough. That's all you need to know for this call today. So don't feel behind. But for those of you that have been doing the challenge, we spent the first couple of weeks so far into this challenge discovering what our excuses are. So we've been using discovery worksheets. That was the very first week. So you should have been doing discovery worksheets for all your overeats. And if you were doing those discovery worksheets, you should have a good idea of what a few of your common excuses are. And then last week and into this week, we've been telling y'all to try out a monk meal. And if you haven't tried it yet, it's not too late. You could try it tonight if you haven't had dinner yet. It's so, so interesting. So the way a monk meal works is you sit and you eat alone, undistracted, no TV, no social media, no other people. And you just listen to what you're thinking while you eat. And this is really great because number one, you get to hear your excuses. And number two, if you aren't sure of what your hunger signals are, you have an opportunity with out any distractions to really drop into your body and pay attention. Because sometimes it is challenging, right? To pay attention to your body and be engaged in a conversation and also think about your to-do list and, you know, what you have to do tomorrow and what happened earlier today. Like, we can get really distracted, right? So a monk meal is a great way to, number one, tune into your body signals, and number two, hear your excuses. So I want y'all to be thinking about, oh, look at, thanks, Coach Heather, for putting in the link to the discovery worksheet. It's also in your planner. You can go to the website and just grab the discovery worksheet separately, but it's there. I think there's also some in your planner. Okay, let me get my thoughts together. Okay, so we talked about discovery worksheets and the monk meal. That's how we discover what our excuses are. So far in this challenge, that's what we've been doing. We've been working on uncovering our excuses. And so tonight we're going to talk about what do you do with them once you know what they are? And if you've been doing the discovery worksheets, you've sort of been doing this process already. We use the four N's on the discovery worksheet. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. So what I'm looking for is those of you that know one of your excuses and you really want to work on being able to tell yourself something else besides just listening to that excuse in the moment. So this is open coaching. So I'm looking for raised hands. So we've got 1 hour together tonight. So let's see. So I've got two people raise their hands right now. I got Bess and I got Rebecca. I'm so excited. If anybody else is nervous about getting coached, it's just me, y'all. We're just hanging out. We're just talking about why we overeat. I overeat. Coach Heather overeats. Corinne overeats. We all overeat. And we all have excuses for why we do it, right? This is not about like being perfect and never overeating. This is about finding our patterns, finding something that we normally think or a situation that we normally overeat in, and then just kind of going after that and coming up with a plan and really targeting it and working on it one thing at a time. So, okay, Bess, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Is that a cow in the picture? Yeah, y'all, look at my cow. His name's Carl. He helps me work every day. He's my friend. He's my cheerleader. He helps me. He supports me. I love him. I live in Texas, and right across, y'all can't see, but right outside of my window, I'm facing a window. All I see is cows. So yeah, I love the cows. Oh, thanks. He is very cute. All right, Bess, I'm going to pull you on up. Let's see. Promote to panelist. Okay. Let's get going, y'all. Let's work on stomping it enough. If you are doing the March challenge, you know, tomorrow starts a new focus for the week. So we will be talking about, and Corinne will be talking about it in her Q&A tomorrow, all about how to change up your environment to help you stop it enough. So this week is monk meals. And then starting tomorrow, we're going to start working on changing our environment. Okay, Miss Bess, I can't see you.
I don't know why I switched. Yeah, there we go.
There you are. Oh my gosh, you have glasses like Coach Heather. I love it.
It's the only way I could see you. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I apologize for being nervous. I'm relatively new. I started in January. Okay. I've been a professional dieter for 50 something years. And Obviously with that, I have a whole bunch of dieting nonsense that goes on in my brain.
Mm. Like what?
Like, unless you do it perfectly, it doesn't count.
Oh.
Good and bad food. So to try and incorporate foods that I love that I've deemed bad for me has been a challenge, but I've been doing that and doing a monk meal with that. But for me, my biggest challenge is identifying when is enough because of the dieting mentality. I had wanted to reject everything about that. So for me, stopping at enough almost feels punitive. It feels punishing in some way. It should be, I've chosen this meal. It's yummy. I'm enjoying it. I'm not stuffed, but I could be enough. But why should I stop here? Because that feels like a punishment. And I don't seem to have an answer for that one.
Tell me about some of the diets you've done in the past. What have they been like? Like, what are some of the ones you've done?
Okay. So the most I was anorexic for 2 years as a teenager, lost my period and was really a mess and was fearful that having lost my period, the reason that I became anorexic is that I had a hypervigilant mother who once told me if she looked like I looked, she would stop eating. Mm. And maybe I was 5 pounds overweight. I mean, I wasn't a fat kid. So there was a whole bunch of emotional stuff that went on with that. And when I started to get a little bit more healthy around food, the thoughts that I thought were that I would prefer that my body work so that I could have children, that I could live a relatively normal life and be overweight as opposed to being in deprivation and have nothing work in my body. And that's how I kind of rationalized it. But I've done Weight Watchers, Lindora, Slim Fast, Jenny Craig. I've done them all. And then for the last 5 years, I've tried to just develop a relationship with food that kind of took away some of the emotion. And that worked. It worked, but I didn't have the framework that I found with no BSV. Doable Hunger has been really wonderful for me, and the Four Ends have been really good. But this enoughness just is challenging me and kicking my arse.
Tell me in all of the diets that you described to me, because by the way, I did all those too. Jenny Craig, I will tell you a quick story about Jenny Craig. One time, you know how you have to go to the center and pick up the meals? Of course, now they probably send them to you. But back when I did it, you had to go and pick them up. And I decided I was going to do a little shopping afterwards. And I left my meals in the car in South Carolina in the summer. And then I ate them anyway, because you know those things are damn expensive. And then I got sick. Well, that cured me of Jenny Craig. But all of those diets, tell me out of those diets, which of those diets taught you to eat based on your body and what it needed?
Not a single one.
Not a single one. How did you know how much to eat on those diets?
They told me.
Right. Right. So it makes sense that at this stage in your life, you're not sure what your body's signals are because you've never dieted and listened to them. Right?
Right.
You've always eaten an amount that was told to you to eat.
Yeah. I hear you 100%. I think that for me, it's a brain thing too, because it's like, I don't want to be told anymore what
to eat. Right. Exactly. So when we come to know BS, our brains are like, even though it looks amazing, right? Like we're like, oh, I love what she says and I get to have what I want. And she talks about repairing our relationship with food. And that's amazing. And I want to do all those things. But most of us come to know BS and we approach it like we would any other diet.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're like, okay, four basics, those are the rules, right? Okay, let me write those down. Rules. Number one, drink water. Got it. Check. Number two, make a food plan. Check. Number three, listen to my body. Check. So these are the rules, right? Corinne, I got to do the rules. I got to stop when my body's had enough. That's a rule, right? So it's just like Jenny Craig.
Yeah.
This is what I have to do to lose my weight, right? And so when we approach these four basics as rules, what do you think our habit brain hears?
Well, it's just the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A diet.
Yeah. And you just told me you were done with that.
Yeah.
You're tired of that. So here we have your brain interpreting stopping it enough as a rule. And then we have conscious best that's like, I'm done with that. Like, I'm over that. So now these things are like this, right? So what do you think the answer is?
Well, I think I have to be a little tender with myself. And cut myself some slack and understand that the conditioning of a good 50 years is going to take some time to unwind. And that looking at it as stopping it enough is a gift in and of itself, and it's not a punishment.
Mm-hmm. And that may be where we're headed, right?
Yeah, it's not where I am now. No.
Yeah, that may be where we want to get to, right? Like when we're doing our four ends and you're noticing and you're normalizing, we're just kind of sticking out in the, you know, we're hanging out in the normalizing right now for a little while. Next best thought down the road surely might be stopping it enough is a gift that I'm giving myself, right? That may be a thought that you can one day access. But for now, let's just continue to understand why you don't want to stop at enough.
Well, can I bring up a scenario that kind of illustrates
a little
bit?
Yes.
So I'm, as you can see, I'm a very good diet follower. So my 24-hour plan is not challenging for me. I do it every morning and easily. And today I knew I was going out for lunch with a girlfriend to a restaurant that I love, and I knew what I was going to eat. And what mm-hmm. I put on my plan was that I was going to eat half of this harvest bowl at lunch, mm-hmm. and I was then going to eat the rest of it for dinner.
Okay.
And when I sat down to eat it, that was still what I thought. And then I noticed this diet stuff going on, which was that I was feeling anxious about it because I wanted to eat the whole bowl. Mm. But that meant that I was bad and that I was mm-hmm. failing.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where I had to actually sit for a moment and say, you're not even focused on the conversation you're having with your girlfriend because you've got this internal dialogue going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in the end, what I did was I ate as much as I wanted, which didn't allow me. I mean, I left 3 bites on the plate, but mm-hmm. I didn't eat what I had written in my planner, which was mm-hmm. that I was going to eat half and bring half mm-hmm. home.
Mm-hmm. Why? Let me ask you this. Why did you write that you were only going to eat half? How did you know that that was going to be enough?
That's a great question. I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the perfection, the dieting perfectionist in me that wanted mm-hmm. to believe that it was going to be enough because I judged that that was enough.
Yeah. You were deciding beforehand that I need to put parameters in here to control me while I'm out to lunch today. And then what happened was you got to lunch and your brain was like, fuck this. I want the whole thing.
And I think I was healthy enough to witness that I hadn't reached enough. I was still enjoying my meal and wasn't that I was hungry. And it wasn't that I was eating for sport, but I hadn't reached that enough point yet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I just want to give you huge props. And I should have done this in the beginning. The fact that you even noticed that conversation in your head is freaking amazing progress.
Thank you. Thanks.
Like that is so good. Like I wrote down in my notes that I wrote all these great notes and I forgot to say half of them. But one of the skills that we have to be able to that we need in order to be able to bust our excuses is to be able to hear them. And so for a lot of us, me included, in the beginning, when I started No BS, I didn't even know my thoughts. Like actually just even being able to hear my thoughts was like mind blowing to me. Like I didn't even know how to do that. So the fact that you did that, oh, by the way, and in the moment of an eating event, so good, so good. But if we back that domino up all the way to when you made your plan and you said, I love making my plan. I do it every day. It feels doable, da, 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 da. But you just did some old diet crap when you made your plan, which was, I'm going to write half. Now, for sometimes, guys, I don't want you to mishear me. There are times that it could be a very loving thing to do to put amounts on your plan. Right? Like there are sometimes like Corinne talks about portioning out nuts and, you know, I think she did it with peanut butter. Like she bought the little individual cups of peanut butter, something like that. There are times that it can be very loving to do that. And it can be a very smart version, right? So for example, if this was a place you'd been before and you knew pretty much had a really good guess of what was going to be enough and you really just wanted to put it in your plan to remind you that, hey, remember that this is enough. Like for me, I do that with pizza. Like I know now that 2 slices of pizza is enough for me, right? I just know, you know? So I put that on my plan just to sort of remind me, you're going to want 3, but just remember 2 is okay, right? But in your instance, the intent of putting the half was to control you,
yeah.
Right? And then in that moment, it's like you want to rebel against that, right? Instead of just leaning into your body and learning and using that as an opportunity for what your hunger signals will tell you.
So just to clarify for my sake, in writing up my plan, if I had written Harvest Bowl at this restaurant and then sat down to eat and halfway or three quarters of the way tapped into it's enough, that would have been the amazing moment then to make that judgment.
Yeah. And isn't that what we teach at No BS, right? Like, we want you to learn to trust your body. We want to repair the broken relationship that you have with your hunger signals in your body. And it's so normal, right? It's normal for all of us. I mean, y'all, give me a thumbs up in the chat if you've done all the diets that tell you how much you're supposed to eat and override your hunger signals. Look at all the thumbs up, right? I remember doing Weight Watchers for one of the first times. I think I've told this story before. And I remember laying in my bed at night crying because I literally had physical hunger and I was out of points.
Yeah, I've done that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so all of these diets, they, I mean, think about like when we're born, right? Like we all are born with impeccable, doable hunger. Right? Like think about babies. You know, if you overfeed a baby, they puke, right? They spit it out or they turn their head. They don't want it. You know, they little kids don't overeat, you know, because they're at parties and who cares if they brought the cake out, they're playing with their friends. They're not hungry. They, you know, we screw them up. Diets screw them up, right? They erode that trust that we have with our bodies. And then we come to No BS and we're telling you to follow doable hunger. And step one is, do you know what your signals are? So for a lot of people, that is just redefining that. And for those of you who are still working on identifying your hunger signals, in No BS Module 1, under the Doable Hunger lesson, there is a fantastic cheat sheet. It's 2 pages, and it gives you some really great tips and tricks that you may experience, some very common signs for what your enough is. So if you're still trying to guesstimate that, please, that's normal. Most of us, like I remember for me, hunger? I didn't even know what that felt like. I pretty much just walked around satisfied all the time, right? When I was in my weight gaining phases. So it's normal that you're a little bit unsure, but that's not what I'm hearing from you. What I'm hearing more of is that it's this resistance to stopping at enough because what you're making it mean. It's punishment. It's diety. You shouldn't have to, right? And that makes sense because of your diet history. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I really
appreciate it. You're welcome. So how do you think you're going to apply this tomorrow? What's your plan going to look like tomorrow?
I think my plan is going to be a little bit more realistic with what I really do want. I'm really going to tap into what I really do want, not what I should have, and play with that a little bit, I think, and see how that goes.
Yeah. And I mean, I think even you could even try telling yourself that, you know, I'm going to make my plan realistic, but I'm going to make my plan and then I'm going to start trusting myself.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some time, right? You're going to mess it up. It's going to be messy all the way down to your wherever you want to be, right? But I'm going to start trusting myself in the moment. Yeah. One of the tips I do with some of my clients is, and it can be scary sometimes when you first start to do it, but like if they want to put cookies or something like on their plan, especially around those like no-no foods, we typically put amount, like most of us aren't putting 3 stalks of broccoli. Most of us are not doing that. It's 2 cookies, 1 piece of candy, you know, it's very, you know, and so we'll kind of practice with it and just say, hey, just write cookies and then see what comes up in the moment.
Yeah, that had my brain going. My brain really rebelled to that against that.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
It's all what you said about trust. Dieting has alleviated all trust I have in my body's natural ability to eat when it's hungry and stop when it's had enough.
Here's the thing though. Here's the thing. The good news is it's there. Like it's not gone. You don't have to reinvent it. You just got to connect back to it. Right. That's it. Right? You just got to connect back to it. And so that's going to take some deliberateness now with every meal. Yeah. So this is why like the monk meal and, you know, changing your environment, this is why that's really, really good because it's not a matter of like, I got to recreate these things. They're already exist inside you. You just got to reconnect and then trust. Right?
Yeah.
Make sense?
It does. Thank you for your wisdom. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, put her on back down. All right. What's going on in the chat? I resisted planning for a whole day. Okay, I'm seeing y'all are having good conversations. All right, Rebecca, I'm pulling you up. I'm gonna take some water. Y'all, I ate my dinner before the call and I can't decide if that was a good plan or not. Because now I'm really thirsty. I had a grilled ham and cheese. And ham makes you salty, in case you didn't know. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. So I'm a longtime member. I think I've been a member for about 3 years. I did take a break and then rejoined about 6 months ago. But this is my first coaching call. So I am a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. We're just chit-chatting. We're just talking about your eating, you know, no big deal.
Yes. So I had kind of an interesting revelation. I think I'm pretty good about being aware of my thoughts. My struggle has been kind of having that conversation and talking back to them instead of just letting them win. Especially I did the Trusting Your Body course with Jane. So I really found that helpful in thinking about when I'm above home base. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be when I overeat and I can recognize that. Mm-hmm. And my problem tends to be like, well, I don't care. We'll worry about it tomorrow. Or like, well, you're above home base. Of course, you're going to overeat. You're not able to work through this right now. You'll work on the skill later. And so then I have my overeats. But one of the things I've just recently became aware of this week is I think I've been maintaining for a few months, not on purpose. Like I've been on this plateau and I thought I was stopping at enough. And I think I'm eating like 2 or 3 bites past enough at every meal. And in talking with my accountability partner, one of the things I realized is I have this sense of like, once I get to enough and I feel like bored with my food or I'm tired of chewing and I have the sigh, those are my usual signals. Then I think I have this thought of, oh, you're about there. It's time to start winding the meal down.
Mm. Instead of like, it's time to stop. It's like, all right. It's like we do the whole thing. Like as mom, do you have kids?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we do the whole thing to give them the 5-minute warning. That's 5 minutes.
Like, that's it. That's exactly right. I'm like, okay, you've got about 3 bites left.
And then do you find yourself eating faster? Like, hold on.
I find myself picking out the really good stuff, right? Like I'll look for the bits of avocado in my salad or the steak or whatever. And I realized like, I asked myself in that moment, I was like, what would it feel like to just put the fork down and be done? Mm. And it felt like really, abrupt and sudden. Mm. And I'm trying to pick that apart a little bit, but I've done a little bit better with it over the past day or two, but it feels really, like rude. Like, so I don't know how else to describe it.
Okay.
So I don't really know.
Why do you think it's rude? Why do you think it's rude?
I feel like I should be able, and I don't know where I get this should from, but I feel like I should be able to kind of ease out of my meal instead of having it just like thrust upon me that I'm at enough and that's it.
Mm. Okay. What if you just decided before you even took the first bite that you already knew that was the easing into it? Like if you told yourself from the very beginning, this meal is going to end in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm headed. Cause I was talking about this with my accountability partner. I actually kind of said like, it's ridiculous to think that I'm going to be surprised. Like I know I'm going to get to enough at some point. Mm-hmm. I think the other part of it is I'm disappointed. Sometimes I'm disappointed. Sometimes I'm angry because I want to keep eating. One of my regular thoughts is it's just so good. And I've been trying to figure out like what's behind that. I love my life. I have a great job. I have a great family, but there's something about eating and overeating that I really enjoy.
Do you really?
In the moment.
I was going to say, you don't look like you're having a good time right now with not losing any weight for a few months.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. It's not so fun, but that's what our brain says in the moment, right?
Right. And my brain will quickly go to, well, you're still working on this and you'll figure it out and the success will come. And every so often I'm able to talk back to it and be like, no, this is when weight loss happens right now is in this moment. And in this
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have a pattern? Like, have you discovered any patterns? Like, do you have a certain like meal that you typically overeat at, or a certain type of meal, or a certain circumstance or something like that? What is it?
Friday nights are typically hard for me. We typically do pizza and a movie on the couch as a family. Mm-hmm. And then, so I typically overeat, or I struggle with overeating the pizza followed by like ice cream or cookies. Mm-hmm. I have gotten a lot, I've gotten better about that.
So what would it mean to, what would you miss out on Friday nights if you didn't get to overeat the pizza and the ice cream and the cookies? What would you be missing out on?
I think I use that to relax, and I have tried to relax by just sitting on the couch and just being with my family. And it does feel different. It doesn't feel the same. And so I think I'm still trying to unlearn that way of relaxing, and learn that I can relax with something different.
So relaxing on the couch, and like you said, I'm trying to relax on the couch, right? So if we're talking about relaxed being like a feeling, like calm, that's not created by where you sit.
Yeah, you're right. It's by my thoughts.
Yeah. So you would have to think relaxing thoughts to feel relaxed. So if you're trying to relax without food, right? Mm-hmm. Then what would you think in the moment? Like, okay, let's just imagine it, right? Like, let's pretend. Wait, what's today? Today's Tuesday. Is Friday night pizza night? Are we having pizza again?
So we actually did some pizza tonight. We did an easy frozen pizza for Pi Day.
It is Pi Day. Happy Pi Day, everybody. 3.14.
Right. And I've got a family full of like math nerds. So we had a pizza pie, and there's a pumpkin pie waiting downstairs that I'm really actually not interested in, because I did stop it enough tonight. I'll say one, last week I had some success with this, and I did two things. One is, I think some of why I feel like I have to relax so much on Friday is how I'm thinking about my life the rest of the week. And so I've been really, last week I was much more intentional about like claiming time for myself to unwind in the evenings, and like even to say, okay, this is your time. You get to relax, and even pockets of time during the day. So I was really working to not have to like feel like I was just sliding into home base on
Friday night. Right.
Yeah. And that made a big difference actually. And we ended up doing Thai food instead of pizza. And Thai food is also a big trigger food for me, for lack of a better word. And I handled that really well, but it was hard. I still like had a lot of thoughts, and I did talk back to them. Like, I didn't let them win, and I stopped it enough. So there are ways that like I feel like I'm getting better at this.
But was it worth it? Let me ask you this. When the times that you stopped it enough, like tonight with pizza. And when you stopped it enough with Thai, even though you said it was hard, because you had to talk back to the thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Even though you said it was hard, was it worth it?
Yes. Not only do I feel proud of myself, but I feel better the next day. Because when I overeat, especially on pizza, which is so salty, and then followed by desserts, which is full of sugar, like I feel chemically gross. Like I feel like I've got all these toxins in me. And I'm trying to start running again on Saturday mornings. And so I feel the difference the next morning. And when I
stop. So let me ask you this. So after you stopped it enough with the Thai food, did you journal the next morning about how proud you were of yourself and how worth it was and how great you felt and how you can't wait to stop it enough again? And this usurps any urge in the moment. This is better than any feeling that you would get of overeating in the moment.
No, I do journal, but I tend to journal on the problem thoughts. I don't tend to journal on what's working well. I do get on a report with my accountability partner, but you're right. I do think there's something to the pen to paper. So I'll give that a try.
And do it tomorrow, because you did it tonight. You stopped it enough with pizza tonight.
Yeah.
Right? So tomorrow, I want you to wake up and I want you to think about tonight. And I want you to think how proud you are of yourself, the conversations that you had to get you to stop it enough.
Yeah.
What you chose to do with the pie tonight that's still waiting downstairs. And I want you to make that, let's reinforce that positive thinking, because here's the thing, right? Right now, your brain is really associating like pizza and overeating with relaxing, right? And so a good thought that might be able to motivate you on Friday night is, I know you want it. I hear you. You're used to relaxing with this, but let me tell you what is relaxing. This is relaxing. Remember how I said just sitting on the couch and then trying to be on the couch is relaxed? No, you have to tell your brain that this is relaxing because it doesn't know. Thinks that food, it thinks that ice cream and cookies is relaxing. You have to say, oh my God, this is relaxing. And then just like you said, all week and all day on Friday, oh, I can't wait on Friday. I can't wait for Friday. Do you know what's amazing about Friday? It's going to be so relaxing. Number one, I don't have to cook. That's so awesome.
Right.
Number two, my family and I, oh my gosh, we get to watch movies together. So awesome. I get to sit on the couch and do nothing. It's so amazing. This is relaxing because your brain right now is married the food and the relaxing. So it thinks if you take away the food, it's also taking the relaxation with it. It's wrong, but that's what it thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think I've given it enough evidence to be wrong, but I, you're right. I haven't like journaled and
you got
to
really, reinforce that. Exactly.
Yeah, reinforce that. Exactly. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. It's kind of like the successful urge worksheets, right? Like, I don't know. Have you ever done one?
No.
Check those out too. Successful urge worksheets, a great way to reinforce when you do something right.
Okay.
So many, I mean, our brains just are always wired to look for the problems and look for the screw ups. Right?
Right.
But we forget to celebrate. We forget to dive into when something went right. Like one of the first things I ask my clients on all of our session calls, they tell me about their wins. And I'm like, hey, how'd you do that? How'd you stop it enough? Oh my God, that was so good. What did you tell yourself? Because we want to make that connection. We want to form those new neural pathways in your brain about what works and what doesn't.
Okay. That's really helpful. I'm going to go do that right now. Cause I am really proud of the fact that, and the frozen pizza tonight was not part of my plan. And so I made the pasta and vegetables. That was part of my plan and I did have one, like half a slice of the frozen pizza. And, and I had a lot of shitty thoughts about, well, I still get to eat my pasta. And I was like, no, just be done. And so that's helpful. I need to reinforce the positive.
Yeah, you are making progress because you came on here like, oh, I'm just overeating and I've been stuck. But then you're also finding the wins. You're like, and actually I did it with Thai food and I did this. So let's like turn the volume up on your success, right? Yeah. So we can show your brain, hey, there are times that you do it and it was so worth it, right?
Yeah. I'm ready to start seeing success on the scale and not just in my
body. Yeah. You will. Okay. We will. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Rebecca. It was good to meet you. It wasn't so bad, was it?
What? No, it's not. Where are you in Texas?
Right outside of Fort Worth.
Oh, okay. I grew up in Austin.
Oh, that's nice. My daughter goes to school down in San Marcos at Texas.
Oh, State. Nice. Yeah. Yep.
It's yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank well, have so fun. Have fun with pizza night on Friday.
Thank you.
See ya. All right. Y'all, pizza night on Friday night, that was my nemesis when I first started No BS. Pizza was one of my things. I think I've told this story to a million times. Y'all probably tired of hearing my damn stories. But pizza night for me was, there was a handful of foods I thought Corinne would never be able to fix in air quotes. And pizza was one of them. I thought this is something that I will never be able to stop it enough with. And lo and behold, it is not a big deal anymore. Okay, let's see. Karen. Come on up, Karen. I don't know what y'all are talking about, but I just see Coach Heather's comment. Of course it tastes good. If I put it away now, I get to enjoy it again tomorrow. Yes. I love when people tell, hi, Karen. I love when people say, but it tastes so good as a rule. And I'll tell you one of my favorite thoughts to say back to it tastes so good. And it's like, well, now that I'm in No BS, everything tastes good. Right? I mean, everything I eat tastes good because I have velvet ropes. I don't eat shit anymore. I don't make myself eat stuff I don't like. So everything I taste good. So when I'm eating something that tastes so good, I remind myself, and I've got more yummy food coming. Hi, Karen. It's Hi. Nice to meet you. Nice what are we talking too. About today? Tell me about one of your no bullshit excuses about stopping it enough.
Well, I do great during the day and I found out at night, I end up playing a game kind of like beat the clock on my signals, which I've noticed I usually do the big sigh.
Do you win or lose at this game? I just need to know.
Well, lose.
Damn it.
I'll find myself and it's like, oh, I know it's coming. Let's shovel the bites in. Get them in.
That sounds like Rebecca. Like you need a 5-minute warning.
Yeah. And it's like, nobody's going to come in and steal it from me.
Well, listen, but listen, okay, don't beat yourself up for this first. No beating yourself up on my watch, Miss Karen. Okay. Of course, like I'm talking to conscious brain Karen, who's not like sitting in front of the, what's your favorite thing to eat?
Food.
I love it. You don't have a favorite one?
Tonight I had soup with some bread and butter.
Okay.
Warm bread and butter.
Okay, listen, can y'all tell which out of those two things is really her favorite? The bread and the butter is what I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm talking to you logically right now. Like we're not in the moment, right? So our conscious brains are loud and clear. But in the moment, our habit brains tend to be a little bit louder, okay? So don't beat yourself up for wanting to speed up and hurry up and get more bites in. How does that make total sense that you do that? Why are you completely normal? Just like I'm normal. And I'm sure Coach Heather has done it before. Oh, and everybody else in the chat.
I think we're all trying to outsmart things.
Why? Or why do we need to outsmart our hunger?
Well, for me, I feel like I'm winning in a way, I guess, to say, you know, like I'm outsmarting my own hunger, which isn't serving me any good.
Mm-hmm. But are you outsmarting your hunger? I mean, is your hunger bamboozled? Dang it, outsmart it again.
No, it hasn't come to that. And it's like, I don't serve myself an overlarge portion.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I plan to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a fear of the psi coming too early.
Mm. And then what will happen if the psi comes too early? You'll have to feel what?
Satisfied, and that would be fine.
Well, can you bring out Habit Brain Karen? I need to talk to Habit Brain Karen
for a minute. Habit Brain is like, oh my God, I gotta eat this. I mean, it's here. I want it. It's good. I like it. Mm-hmm. Especially the bread and butter. I mean, you can't throw that away.
Oh, did y'all just hear the bullshit excuses? She just vomited them, like four of them, like right there, right? Thank you, Habit Brain Karen. Thank you for coming to the party. Exactly. So that's what you're telling yourself in the moment. So let me just, because shit, I can't even remember 10 seconds ago with the first thing you said, but I know the last thing you said was, because it's also one of my excuses that I wrote down on my list. The last thing you said was, you can't throw that away.
No, like I'm going to ship it to the starving children in Africa.
Again, conscious brain Karen is saying that, but habit brain Karen is not saying that. Habit brain Karen is saying, you can't throw that away.
It's, yeah, why? You can't waste it, and it's good.
And it's, yeah, you're going to waste it. If it was shitty food, it would be okay to waste, like, you know, something we didn't like.
Yeah, if it was shitty food, I wouldn't want it in the first place. Yeah. I'd go look for something better.
Right. Okay. So tell me, what else can you do with food when you know you've had enough? What could you have done with the food besides throw it in the garbage?
I could have put it in the refrigerator for later.
Okay. All right. There's one option.
I could have set it aside to eat if I found out I wasn't really satisfied.
Okay.
If the sigh didn't come instead of trying to beat the sigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Where do you think your idea that you can't waste food came from?
Clean plate club growing up.
Mm.
Endless battles of sitting with a plate when I was, you know, 5 or 6 and thought things were icky.
Mm-hmm.
And being told if you didn't eat this for your dinner, you're going to get it for breakfast.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm told I was very picky as a child.
Okay. So it makes sense that you want to clean your plate every time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense that you feel like I can't throw this away. I can't waste this. What do you think happens to Coach Heather is so good at this analogy. And I'm not just saying it because she's moderating this call. I would have said it even if she wasn't on this call, but she's really good. She has the best analogy. She talks about I'm going to screw this up, Heather. I apologize in advance, but she talks about your body being like a car, right? And the food is the fuel, right? and it needs fuel to run properly. Well, what happens when you put too much fuel in the line of your car? It's wasted, right?
Yeah.
So if you're putting bread and butter and your tank is full, what is happening to the food?
It's being stored in my body, which I don't want.
It's being wasted.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to my waste.
Yeah. Yeah. It's being wasted. Right? Now, I realize that for some of us, especially depending on what era you grow up in, you know, wasting food can be very challenging because of the way we were brought up. That's why I brought up the other options. You know, put it in the fridge, save it for later. If it's that good, save it, leave it out. Maybe when you get hungry in 2 or 3 hours, you'll be able to finish it, right? But learning to stop when you start to feel that enough signal is a gift that you can give yourself now, right?
I do it with every other meal. I have snacks in my lunch bag for work that I'm not hungry. I don't eat them. I bring them back home. Mm-hmm. But I just noticed, and it's only been in the last probably week and a half where I'm.
What's been going on the last week and a half? What's happening in your life?
Nothing abnormal. Mm-hmm. I mean, normal amount of stresses and mm-hmm. things like that. I just find myself, again, trying to beat the side. It's like a bad game show.
Mm. What do you think about stopping it enough?
I'm usually fine with it with every other meal I am.
So what is it about nighttime? Is it just nighttime?
Yeah. And you know, part of it is probably I'm thinking if I eat more of this now, I won't be hungry later.
Oh, that's another. Look, I feel like we're playing a game show right now. Like we're playing bingo and I just got to cross off another excuse. That's my very last one. I don't want to get hungry later.
Prize involved.
There's a prize. You win it. I don't want to get hungry later. I better eat now because I might get hungry later. Comment.
Yeah, I just realized I'm doing.
Where does that thinking? Yeah, where does that thinking come from? It's like the previous two people that I coached. Same thing. Where does that come from? Why this fear of getting hungry later? Why are we afraid of that?
I wonder if it goes back to, you know, the old crappy diet mentality of I've had enough. You know, that after a certain time of the day, you shouldn't eat or.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you're out of points, or if you've done intermittent fasting, sometimes that can trigger, you know, that for you. If you had a bad experience with intermittent fasting and had to be hungry outside of the window.
The one that popped in my brain was, well, you don't want to eat too late because then you won't sleep well.
Right. Well, and that's, and listen, for me, I wear an Oura ring. That is true. But I don't tell myself that I can't eat late. I tell myself that I choose not to eat late consistently because it does mess with my sleep. That's way different conversation. It's not that I'm not allowed. I choose to not eat past a certain time if I can help it. Now, listen, it's not a rule. Like my daughter was here the other night and we got Thai food. Shout out to, I think it was Rebecca that ate Thai food, right? We got Thai food and we didn't eat it until 8:15 because we were out shopping and I ate. It's not a rule that I have, but just for me in general, I don't like to eat late because it does jack with my sleep, but it's not a rule, right? But yes, it makes sense. If you've done diets that said you have to eat by this, you know, you can't eat past this time. It makes sense that you're eating to preempt hunger. Absolutely.
I also just realized that I'm praising myself for not being hungry later. So I'm kind of reinforcing that having those extra bites is a good thing because see, I'm not hungry later. Mm. I did everything right.
Mm-hmm. And how do you know that if you didn't have those extra bites, that maybe you still wouldn't be hungry later?
Yeah, I don't know that. And that's a good thing to think about.
It's a good thing to experiment and be curious about, right?
Yeah, because I'm assuming what I did was what my body needed. And I'm just making that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
But also making it to justify getting some extra bites in.
Yeah. Karen, your habit brain is so tricky, right? All of ours are. They're so sneaky, those little bastards.
I feel like I revert to being a little kid where you're trying to tell all the lies and excuses to get out of whatever you've done.
Well, that's what you said in the beginning. You said, I'm like trying to beat doable hunger. Like I'm trying to get one over on it. Right. Mm-hmm. And who is doable hunger? It's you. Right. It's your body. It's your goals. It's your relationship with food.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because I've been so happy because the last couple of days I've had this really strong, sassy voice of my own in my head, you know, saying things like, you do not need that. Mm. And, you know, put that down. You've had enough. Mm. Like last night, I wanted to get cheap chicken that they had at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And this voice out of nowhere said, what are you going to do with 8 pieces of chicken? You're only one person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it.
Did that work?
Yeah. I was like, you know, if you want chicken that bad, a couple chicken strips will be fine. You don't need 8 pieces of deep fried chicken.
Hmm. Hmm. Why do you think you wanted the 8 pieces of deep fried chicken?
Oh, just because I saw it was on sale and went, ooh, that sounds good.
Y'all, there's another excuse right there. It was on sale. It was free. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But then look at what you did. Now I don't love the tone of voice your conscious brain uses sometimes. It sounds very mean, but if it works for you, that matters.
She's just bold and loud.
She's bold and sassy. I mean. I like it. So she said, hey, it's okay that you want chicken, but let's not get the 8 pieces. Let's get the chicken tenders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, one person doesn't eat 8 pieces of chicken.
Yeah.
A couple chicken strips in the air fryer will be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we talked about don't want to waste the food, right? So what are you going to try telling yourself the next time you reach your enough and your brain says, well, you can't waste this? What are you going to say? What are you going to try out?
Well, first, I think I'll acknowledge that it's not wasting it.
Okay.
It, you know, and if it's a couple bites, throw it away. If it's enough for a snack, put it in the fridge.
I love that. Let me give you a little tip, Karen. And this kind of goes for everybody. This is the tip that I use. And I've shared it with my private clients too. Sometimes if you've been doing enough discovery worksheets and you've done a monk meal and you know your excuses, like Karen, you need, when you watch this back, go ahead and jot down all the ones you said that I forgot.
I could probably come up with 1,000 more.
Okay. So I want you to jot those down. And here's a tip. Work on those excuses, when you're likely to say them, how you're likely to say them to yourself, and what actions will follow when you think them. Like write all that out like a script.
Okay.
Like for example, you know, we were talking about Friday night pizza night. Here it is, Friday night pizza night. I'm going to tell myself that this is relaxing. I'm going to tell myself that to feel connected with the family, I need to have ice cream with them. I'm going to say this and that and this. And then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to overeat the pizza by 2 or 3 slices. I'm going to want ice cream after I'm full. You know, this, write it all out outside of the moment. Don't wait and try to do it in the moment. Write about it on Friday morning. Write it about it on Thursday night, whenever. And then write about what you're going to think instead. I'm going to try to think this instead. And here's what I'm going to do instead. And then you practice that all day long. You think, oh yeah, I'm going to likely think this tonight. And this is how I've been showing up. That's probably what I'm going to do if I keep thinking that. Oh yeah. And this is what I'm going to think instead. Practice it outside of the moment. Because one of the top things I hear in Ask Coaches and on Facebook and even with myself is that, oh, but it's so hard in the moment. So practice outside of the moment. Once you know your patterns, once you know your patterns, then practice the patterns outside of that moment. So in the moment, your brain is more likely to be like, oh yeah, we saw this coming. We knew we were going to think that. And even if you don't catch the thought, you can catch yourself in the action and be like, oh shit, I am getting that fourth piece of pizza. Dang it. Okay, here I go. What was I going to think instead? It's going to be more likely to come up if you have reinforced that in outside of that moment. Does that make sense?
It does. And I was just thinking, I usually journal after dinner. And I think I'm going to set up a prompt for myself to journal before dinner tomorrow night.
Oh, and I love that.
Part of the prompt will be, how do you want to handle dinner tonight?
Yeah. And what are you going to think? Yeah. What are you going to think? What are you likely going to want to do? What are you likely going to think? What do you want to do instead? And how are you going to think that's going to make it able to make yourself able to show up that way? Because we know that our thoughts create our actions, right? Our thoughts create our feelings, which create our actions. Because right now you're overeating because you're thinking things like, I don't want to waste it. It tastes so good. That's what's causing the overeating is the thought, right? And so when we can try to think something else instead, which is what busting your excuses is, y'all, it is saying something different than what you normally say. That's all how you bust it. And one of the tips is practice it outside of the moment. Practice your patterns outside of the moment. And so then in the moment, it might become more accessible from your habit brain.
Yeah, I like the idea of making kind of a game plan.
Yeah, of course. That's the point of finding out our patterns, right? So we can come up with a strategy. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes, very good. Very good. But I want you to see too that you are making progress. I mean, you got the chicken tenders over the eight pieces.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And even recognizing the first time I experienced the sigh, I about fell off the chair. I was like, I didn't think that was a factory installed on me. And it was just, you know, it's just me and my cat. And I'm talking to him, going, did you notice that?
And the cat says, no, I overeat every day. I don't care about starving.
Yeah, the cat was just like, give me another treat, lady.
I love it. I love it. And so that kind of, I mean, we're joking about it, but seriously, that's like our first caller, right? Like she was talking about how she wasn't even sure of her hunger signals, right? And so for a lot of us, if you've been not paying attention to your enough signals, you do have to kind of get reacquainted with them and figure out.
Yeah. When the sigh was listed as one of them, I was like, I don't have that. That's silly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did it, it was like, where did that go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just like when you go back to the beginning and you're thinking, you find yourself like trying to beat doable hunger, you know, you have the signal and you just want to sneak in a few extra bites and things like that. You know, that's usually because we're feeling scarcity around food, right? We could just want to hurry and get it in before hunger really sees us. Hurry up. Mom's coming. Yeah. Eat some more bites. She's going to make a stop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's always something in there. There's always something like, what am I going to have to feel if I stop right now? What is this food doing for me? And learning to understand and hear that is always the first step. And you're doing a great job with that. So
thank
just
you.
Check those down. And then I love your idea. Are you on Facebook, Karen?
Yes.
Okay. I would love, love, love for you to tag me the day after tomorrow and let me know how the journaling before dinner went.
Okay.
And you've got, let me see, 326 people that would love to know how it went. Look at you in the biggest accountability group of your life.
That is exactly what I need.
I love it. All right. Well, good luck to you, Karen. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Sarah, let's see if we can get you up. We got like 3 minutes, Sarah. I'm going to have to drink some more water. Y'all do not eat a ham and grilled cheese sandwich before you have to talk a lot. That was not a good plan. Somebody should have told me. All right. Remote to panelist. I'll be definitely getting in all my water tonight because I'll be slamming it. Here comes Sarah, y'all.
Hi.
Hey, Sarah. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I definitely didn't plan on hopping on, but I'm glad we had a couple minutes.
Yeah.
You mentioned
what's going
something
on?
When you were coaching Rebecca. So that triggered one of the excuses I have that I had forgotten about. When she was talking about the meal ending abruptly, and you said, what if you just told yourself at the beginning you only had 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 young kids and a husband that I cook for. Mm-hmm. And the thought that accompanies this is so good is, and I put all of this time in to make it, or And they don't appreciate it always because they're little and they're still learning what flavors mm-hmm. they'll tolerate. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like I overeat because it took me 30 minutes to make it. I don't want it to be over in 5 minutes, or mm-hmm. I put a lot of effort into it and I don't necessarily feel like anyone else really appreciated it. It's almost like I'm trying to eat for more than just myself. So listening to you then, Coach Karen, afterwards is really helpful as far as journaling on it before dinner mm-hmm. time. When mm-hmm. So I can definitely apply that. But let me ask you,
Sarah, like, why do you put so much effort in? How long does it take you to prepare a meal typically?
Oh my gosh, like, it's so funny because it's not that. I mean, occasionally, like today, I made something that takes a little bit more time. For me, that's about 20 minutes or 30 minutes okay. of you know chopping and dicing and things. But typically, it's not. Typically, it's 15 minutes. But it's usually time that I, so many thoughts that are not helpful in this moment. I think that I don't necessarily need them to love what I make. I don't think that's what I mean by appreciate. I think that I like making them good food, healthy food, and I want to enjoy it longer with them.
Why do you need to enjoy it longer? Why is longer better?
I'm not sure. It's like, it just doesn't feel equal to put 30 minutes into preparing a meal and then be at enough in five. It's like, all that work was for what?
A
lot of payoff.
What was it for?
I mean, it was to nourish my family. I say that like it's not, well, it's not a big deal, but I'm not really sure. Yeah. It's like, I'm just feel compelled to like savor it. But I say that, but I know that that's bullshit because I don't savor it. I like just keep eating and eating and eating until my brain tells me you're about to be uncomfortable. It's like, I am trying to beat the clock.
Yeah.
So
you were kind of onto something there. Why do you take 15 to 30 minutes to prepare food for your family? If it's not for it to last, like what would be the amount of time that would be equal? Like 30 minutes to 30 minutes?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I know it sounds stupid even when I hear
myself. No, don't judge yourself. Don't judge yourself. No judging. It's all normal. Okay. All your thoughts are normal. This is totally normal. But what would be, what do you think? Like how long would be better?
I don't know that it's a number of minutes. I think it's more of a feeling of like, maybe it's the, okay, dinner is done. Everyone has their food. We're sitting and enjoying it together. And I maybe that's what I want to last longer.
There you go. So how can we make that last longer without the food?
Well, honestly, I think part of it might be that I plate everybody's food and get them all squared away before I plate myself food and sit down and join them. Okay. And so then they're already finishing up.
Okay. There's a great idea. So what could you do differently there?
I mean, I could definitely serve family style, you know, putting everything out on the table, or I could plate them all and bring them all over, including my own, so that I'm a part of the dinner experience with them longer. I could also, now that I think about it, just be better. One of the things I'd like to work on is putting my fork down between bites, which would slow down things. So if we all kind of worked on that as a family, maybe made it a game or something, like then we would all kind of be there longer and just enjoying each other.
You're getting a bunch of hearts. These are great ideas, Sarah. I love these ideas, right? Because you want to experience the meal. This is a lot like relaxing, right? Like I want this experience, like I want to relax on the couch and I need pizza to last the whole time to do it. I used to go to the movies like that. Like I used to get the biggest popcorn because I needed it to last the whole movie. Yeah. I needed it to be for the whole movie. Right. But that's so crazy because now I know that I can actually just sit and enjoy the movie without the popcorn. It doesn't make it any better. Right. But that's just what this is. But I love that now your brain is kind of coming up with solutions. Like I do want to sit down and enjoy a meal with my family. That's important to you. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So how can I do that? How can I make that better? And you've already come up with some great suggestions. Now, Sarah, is this going to work? I don't know, but let's try it and see, right? Let's see how this goes. Let's see if we can't. But listen, the feeling that you're looking for doesn't come from an action or an amount of time. It comes from
my thoughts.
Yeah. It comes from what you're thinking about. And I love, you know, you did this thing just a second ago, and you said, well, it's like, I just want to sit down and be like, okay, the kids have what they need. I have what they need. Right. And so you can do that. You can do that without extending the meal time. So even if you just did that and told yourself before you sat down at the meal, this is my time with my family. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. This is my time with my family. This is relaxing. This is enjoyable. Right. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I know we were short on time, so I appreciate you pulling me up.
You're welcome.
And I think that combining some of those ideas with all of the tips that you just gave to Karen about journaling on it before it actually takes place will be super helpful. So thanks a lot.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Well, I'm going to offer you the same thing. Tag me and let me know how it goes.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Coach Christy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. I hope you got some great advice tonight from our members. They really did all the work. They came up with all the great ideas. I just helped facilitate their brains, right? Okay, so just one little last plug. If you're new and you don't know, tonight we're talking about stopping it enough and busting your excuses. The Busting Excuses Camp is in July. If you have not signed up to attend virtually, please, please, please go to the website, nobswomen.com. We are going to be busting through all of our excuses in a 3-day camp style workshop. So check it out. If you haven't, thank y'all for being here with me tonight. I just love hanging out with you. I hope you had a good time and learned a lot. Thank you, Coach Heather, for being in the chat. And I will see y'all. Bye.